continue with Words for Life, a series of Christian sermons by ministers in the southern suburbs of Melbourne. Today our speaker is Reverend David Sterry of Beaumaris Mordialloc Baptist Church.
Well, recently Michelle and I, as some of you know, were away for a week or two, and we entrusted the day-to-day care of our home and our pets and our garden and anything and everything else to one of our children, the only one still living at home, our 19-year-old daughter. The home is ours, of course, but as one of our children, we were willing to entrust the care of everything in and around it to her. I'm not going to say any more than that. But God has entrusted us as his children in our lives with the care of what is actually his. And that's what stewardship is. That's what the word stewardship means. That's what the concept of stewardship is about. That God has entrusted what is actually his to us, for us to look after and care for. And today we begin a series on some of the different areas of life in God's world that he has entrusted us with. Next week we're going to look at how well we are looking after or stewarding God's creation. And Then the next couple of weeks after that, we're going to look at what we're doing with the talents and abilities or gifts God has entrusted us with. And then we'll look at the treasures or financial and physical resources that God has entrusted us with over the week after that. But we begin today by looking, as Calvin said, with what we do with the time that God has entrusted us with. Now, if we're not careful, time can we can look at time as a resource that we get to control and that we get to do with what we want. But this is not what the Bible teaches about time. The Bible shows us that God is the Lord of time, that God is the giver of time, and that God is the one that actually graciously entrusts us with the time that we have in our days and in our lives to use well. Time is actually the ultimate non-renewable resource. I'll say that again. Time is the ultimate non-renewable resource. Benjamin Franklin once put it like this: lost time is never found again. Lost time is never found again. But the other thing about time is that we are all entrusted equally with the same amount of time. Now, when it comes to the other areas of what God might entrust to us, if we think about talents, there's variability in that. There's different kinds of talents. There's varying amounts of financial resources. Everyone is entrusted with different amounts when it comes to financial resources. Everyone is entrusted with different types and different amounts when it comes to talents and gifts, but not when it comes to time. Time is the one resource that is distributed equally to everyone, no matter who you are, no matter what your situation. You might feel like you're time poor. You might wish that you had more time in a day or in a week, but in reality, we've all been entrusted with exactly the same amount of time each day, exactly the same time each week. The word entrusted is such an important part of understanding biblical stewardship, because to be entrusted with something comes out of a relationship of trust. To be entrusted with something is to be trusted with something. So a relationship of trust is at the heart of being entrusted with something. And that's what God is like with us as his children. He has a relationship with us. He trusts us to use well what he's given to us, including our time. So let's take a closer look at Psalm 90 to discover some more about God's perspective on time, and out of that, how to steward well the time that God has entrusted us with. Let's start with the first couple of verses. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. These verses show us that we steward well the time that God has entrusted with us when we place time within God's bigger picture. They're an incredible couple of verses that I just read to you. They remind us that God is not limited like we are by the constraints of time. God is over and above and before all of time, as someone who is, as it's described there, from everlasting to everlasting. Extraordinary. Our mind can't even comprehend what the fullness of that. That from everlasting to everlasting, God is God. As part of our time away that I mentioned earlier, Michelle and I walked up to the iconic Craig's Hut in the Victorian High Country. And the view from there is spectacular. You look around in every direction. No matter which way you look, you see mountain range after mountain range. It's magnificent. It's an incredible bigger picture view of things. But as Moses, who wrote Psalm 90, says, even before the mountains came to be, even before the earth and the world came to be, let alone our lives, let alone our week, let alone our day, God, the eternal God, was there. What an important perspective to place time within, to recognize that the time in our days, or the time in our weeks, or the time in our years that we have on this earth are really just a small dot on the horizon in comparison to the everlasting, timeless Creator, Sustainer, and Redeemer God who has entrusted us with the time that we have. God is the Lord of creation. God is the Lord of history. God is the Lord of time. And he is someone for us to worship and find security in. As the psalm writer here says right at the start, Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. What's the significance of God being our dwelling place? It means that God is someone we can find security in. God is someone that, because he's from everlasting to everlasting, there's no better place to find security than in the everlasting God. The starting point for stewarding well the time that God has entrusted us with is placing time, our time, within God's bigger picture. But as we read on in Psalm 90, into verses 3 to 6 and then across to 9 to 10, we also steward well the time God has entrusted with us, as we recognize and pick up on the passing nature of time. Verses 3 to 6. You turn people back to dust, saying, return to dust, you mortals. 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. You sweep people away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning. In the morning it springs up new, but by evening it is dry and withered. And across to verse 9 and 10, all our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our days with a moan. Our days may come to 70 years or 80 if our strength endures. Yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow. They quickly pass and we fly away. There's a little phrase that you would be familiar with. It says time flies when you're having fun. But the reality is, time flies not just when you're having fun. Time passes quickly, all up. We're reminded of that afresh as we remember Roz and her life. And just a few weeks ago, she was here amongst us in a normal, cheerful way. And now the Lord has taken her to be with him. Before we know it, a day passes by. A week passes by, a year passes by, and before we know it, indeed, our lives pass us by. The time that God entrusts us with isn't unlimited, but it's limited, and it passes quickly. And one of the other things that we see in the verses here in Psalm 90 is that there's struggle and there's pain in that time as well. And that's a part of living in a fallen world. That's a part of the nature of life in this world, which is messy. Since the fall in the early chapters of Genesis, that life involves struggle and life involves messiness. But God entered this world through Jesus, and we take comfort from that and encouragement from that. That God is with us in the midst of that. The time that God entrusts us with, it can be there one day and gone the next, which is why we need to use it well. As the book of James puts it like this, in James chapter 4, verses 14 and 15, 13 through to 15. Listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, we will spend the time there, we will carry on business and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and we will do this or that. And that is why, as we read in Psalm 90, we need to pursue wise use of time. Verse 12 in Psalm 90 puts it like this. It says, teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Teach us, the psalm writer says, to number our days or to use them wisely. In other words, we don't learn that ourselves. We need God to show us and teach us how to use our time wisely and well. How to steward the time that God has entrusted us with well. And we don't do that wisely or well if we do that according to the clock. We don't do that wisely or well if we do that according to the demands or pressures of our culture or of others around us. But we do that wisely and well when we allow God to teach us according to his ways and his will. It's an ongoing journey. It's a lifetime journey, actually, in each of our lives, of God teaching and showing us more of what it means to grow, to become more like him, but what that means when it comes to using well the time that he's given us. Or as a one translation of Ephesians 5 puts it, that Calvin referred to at the start, Ephesians 5 says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of, or as one translation puts it, redeeming the time, or making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Redeeming our time. Yes, we face many and varied challenges when it comes to doing that. We face many and varied challenges when it comes to using the time God has entrusted with us wisely and well. The challenge of distractions. Distractions can be many. They can be varied. They can come in all kinds of shapes and forms. The challenge of delay, of putting off or delaying things that we should be attentive to sooner rather than later in our lives. Not thinking that tomorrow's going to come automatically. Make sure that the conversations that you need to have with people that you have those sooner rather than later. Don't delay, don't put off things that are significant, things that are important in life. The challenge of waste, wasting time on focuses that might not be as fruitful a use of our time as they could be. Or the challenge of haste, where our time is so tightly squeezed and rushed that we don't slow down enough for rest and renewal time, which is so important in God's purposes for us. I wonder, what might it look like for you to pursue a wise use of time in your life? Whether you're a worker, whether you're a retiree, whether you're someone with a family, whatever age or stage of life or situation you find yourself in, what might it look like for you to pursue a wise use of time? Paul says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, whatever you do, that covers everything, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And here in Psalm 90, some of the later verses beyond what Calvin read to us show us what characterise a life being lived like Paul describes it in Colossians. Whatever you do, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. What does Psalm 90 show us about that and what that looks like? A wise use of time and using our stewarding the time that God has given us well. Well, the later verses in Psalm 90, after the psalm writer says, teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Verse 14, satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen trouble. And the final verse of the psalm, may the favour of the Lord our God rest on us, establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. a life that is characterized by using the time God's entrusted us with well and wisely is going to be characterized by what I just read to you, a sense of purpose and a sense of joy. It's going to be characterized by a sense of being sustained by God's unfailing love day after day, no matter what each day brings, no matter how busy each day might be, no matter what might be involved in each day, a sense of being sustained by the love of God, not being sustained by our own strength or energies, but being sustained by the love of God, anchoring in the love of God each day, resting in that, allowing God to sustain us. It's going to be characterized, we're going to be recognized that our time and what God has entrusted us with in our days is more of a blessing than a burden. It's not going to be a drudgery thing, but it's going to be a blessing. That where the favor, as the psalm writer says, the favor of God rests upon us in such a way that God establishes the work of our hands or enables what we do, whatever we do, as Colossians says, to be fruitful. Let me close with a prayer written by a Japanese Christian poet, Toki Miyashina, a prayer written out of a reflection on Psalm 23, and it's called the 23rd Psalm for Busy People. Let's pray. The Lord is my pace setter. I shall not rush. He makes me stop and rest for quiet intervals. He provides me with images of stillness, which restore my serenity. He leads me in ways of efficiency through calmness of mind, and his guidance is peace. Even though I may have a great many things to accomplish each day, I will not fret, for his presence is here. His timelessness, his all importance will keep me in balance. He prepares refreshment and renewal in the midst of my activity by anointing my head with the oils of tranquility. My cup of joyous energy overflows. Surely harmony and effectiveness shall be the fruit of my hours, for I shall walk in the pace of my Lord, and I shall dwell in his house forever.